Episode number 418 on the power of a spiritual vision with Krishna G.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, a former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome everyone to the School of Greatness podcast. Most of you know that I spent a couple of weeks in India recently where I was doing a meditation retreat. And at this meditation retreat, I learned so much more about myself, about my thoughts, about my body, about my breath, about my ideas, about my mindset. And I felt like I was able to dive deeper into the meaning of everything and the meaning of why I'm here and why we're all here. How this all happened, what the purpose of this is. You know, my entire childhood, I constantly was in the question of, why am I here and what is the purpose? What is the purpose, especially if I feel all this frustration and anger and disappointment and lack of belonging and I felt insecure? Why am I here? I had these questions over and over again. And I never understood the answer. I never knew what the answers were. So I just led to more frustration and more disappointment and anger and lashing out and, you know, just doing all the troublesome things that I did as a young boy growing up and as a young teenager. You know, I've been on a journey seeking answers my entire life. You know, one of the reasons I do this podcast is to seek the truth from people who've been there and done that before, the truth that works for them, and to see if that truth resonates with me, with where I'm at in my life. And sometimes certain truths or wisdom that I've had in different parts of my life or different times may not work or be as relevant in other times. And so I think I'm constantly looking for answers and the truth to deepen my spiritual practice, to heighten my sense of awareness, to let go of the things that don't support or serve me, and continue to develop myself as a human being to be the best that I can possibly be in all areas of my life. That's what the School of Greatness is for, becoming the best version of yourself in every area of your life. And I met with Preeta G, who we had on the podcast a while ago, and she invited me out. She's one of the founders of One World Academy. She invited me to One World Academy in India. And Krishna G, her husband, who is one of the founders, they're both the founders, but this is really his vision and his baby brought to life. They both founded it together. There were some profound things that I learned, and I want to share with you throughout this interview with Krishna G what I learned. He turns the tables around on me at some point in this interview and kind of asks me the biggest lessons that I've learned and the most profound things. So if you're curious about hearing what happened, this was at the very end, I think the last couple days of my experience in India for a couple of weeks. So you're going to hear what I was experiencing in the moment. We recorded this in their studio. So for those that aren't aware of what has happened or what I did, make sure to go back to the previous interview. We'll have it linked up in the show notes at lewishowes.com/418. You can learn more there. But this is me during the meditation retreat, what I was learning and experiencing and what I was thinking in that moment. So Krishna G, in 2009, he with his wife, Preeta G, started One World Academy. And this academy is a wisdom school for enlightenment. It is based in a new tradition where the focus is on knowing one's self and discovering that we are connected to all that exists, everything that exists. Now, Krishna G and Preeta G are enlightened world teachers whose vision is to free individuals of all forms of unhappiness. And their teachings challenge every justification for living in sorrow and inner isolation. So if you feel any type of pain, any type of suffering, any type of anguish, then make sure you listen very closely to this entire interview, because the things that I learned about how to rid suffering from myself were so profound and yet so simple when I grasped the concept. And some of the things we talk about are the importance of looking for answers inside ourselves instead of outside ourselves constantly, which kind of contradicts me constantly questioning people and asking questions all the time. But I'm just a curious guy. I'm always going to ask that. But really, it was interesting when I asked Krishnaji who his greatest teacher was. His answer was quite profound for me. And I think the answer will resonate with all of you if you take a moment to listen. We talk about the one path to finding true joy. If you want to be joyful in your life, if you want to experience this bliss, this joy, then you have to follow this simple path. Also, why having a spiritual vision is essential to life. Guys, after I learned more and more about this, I realized, wow, that's why I suffered so much. And wow, that's why I was so angry when I was a child. The importance of a spiritual vision and what happens if we don't have one. Also, we talk about why many people struggle to live in a positive state of mind and how to shift out of that. And then also how to end your suffering after becoming aware of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so excited for you guys to connect with this. And, you know, Krishnaji has a softer tone. So be aware and listen in and lean in as you're listening and really pay attention. And I hope you guys get a lot out of this. Make sure to share it with your friends, lewishouse.com/418. Tweet me, send me a message on Instagram as you're listening to this, at Lewis Howes, and let me know the biggest thing that's opening up for you during this conversation. I'd love to connect with you as you're listening. This is the power of creating a spiritual vision with the meditation master, the one, the only, Krishnaji.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12 pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent, all in the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. They know how to help you win the right home at the right price. So download the Redfin app to get started today.
Welcome everyone back to the School of Greatness podcast. We're here in India at One World Academy with Krishnaji. Thanks so much for having me. Thanks so much for doing the interview. I just finished 2 weeks here.
Yes.
This is my last day. I leave in a few hours back to the United States.
We will miss you.
Yes, I will miss you guys as well. And what an experience, man. What a great experience. I interviewed your wife, Pritaji. It was about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. 2 months ago.
Yes.
And really didn't know what to expect coming here. She just said, you need to come. She invited me. I had the recommendation from our good friend Ben Sterner, who introduced us.
Yes.
And I said, okay, I trust you guys, I'll come. But I didn't know what to expect. But what I learned and what I created was magic. So I want to thank you for bringing me into your home, making me part of your family, and for your incredible team for having me here. Now, One World Academy is a wisdom school that you started in 2009, is that correct?
Yes.
And why did you start this? Before we talk about my experience of what I've learned, I want to know why you started it.
We started the One World Academy to teach people to live in powerful spiritual states. And, you know, we are constantly looking for answers for happiness, for a joy, for a fulfillment in the external. Whereas we actually need to take the journey inwards. All our experiences in life happens within us. Take any emotion for that matter. Emotion of hurt, anger, peace, love, jealousy, connection, courage, fear, passion. Where do you experience these emotions? You experience these emotions within you. So, if you want a transformation, if you want a change to happen in your life, the journey you need to make is within you. But we are constantly searching for answers outside of us. So One World Academy was started with that intention that each and every individual on this planet can be taught to make the journey within, to find happiness within them, to find fulfillment within them, to find joy within them, to find love, connection, courage, passion within them, so that they can then give back to the world. See, we are constantly searching for love outside of us. We are searching for passion outside of us. We want something to motivate us. We want someone else to love us. If you're in a suffering state, if you're in a state of fear, if you're in a state of anger, if you're in a state of disconnect, how will you experience these beautiful experiences? So our understanding is you need to live in these beautiful states to share. So we're in a constant mode of expecting. We want someone to give so that we can transform. We want someone to change so that we can transform. We want situations to change around our life so that we can feel better. When we are constantly seeing people are changing, probably someone is really loving you, probably the systems outside are certainly becoming better. But we are constantly seeing in the world that we are becoming unhappier. We are not becoming happier beings. That means the answer is within us. It's not outside of us. What is outside of us is to create a better world, a more comfortable world, a world that can be more beautiful, which can be enjoyed, and where we can survive as a human species. But to find real joy and to find real happiness and love and connection, you need to move inwards. So with that intention, One World Academy was formed.
Now, who taught you these principles early on? Like, how did you discover these things? Were you suffering a lot as a child and you were seeking this? Or were you always brought up understanding these principles?
I was not suffering as a child. My parents have been wonderful to me. They brought me up in a very beautiful way. In fact, so much so that they never even asked what was my marks and my grades or anything like that. So I had wonderful parenting. I'm lucky to be born in a spiritual family. So my father is a spiritual master in this country. And got exposed to spirituality from the age of 12. So have been part of his work and what he has been doing. And somewhere I think... I would not say somewhere, but I think throughout my life, I've always looked inwards for my happiness. Yes.
How did you understand that? Was that your father or was that your...
Definitely my father did not particularly tell me to move inwards, but his teachings have helped. But I have always told myself, in those days, from the age of 12, 13 onwards, always felt that I should take responsibility if something went wrong. So it was a very simple teaching, but it definitely made me see the truth to some extent in the external, that I need to get better at this. So I can't keep blaming and find fault with someone else and go on this path of suffering and, you know, making the problem bigger. So I always used to look inward and used to say, okay, next time there'll be a lot of change brought to this problem, particular problem. And I definitely would see my shortcomings. I went wrong, I would. And I would make those corrections. Later on, as I grew, the insights became better. And definitely the understanding became much more clearer that if you want to live a happy life, the answers are within you and not outside of you.
Who would you say is more influential for you growing up, mom or dad?
Dad.
And what was the biggest lesson he taught you?
The biggest lesson he taught me was... Because life is here to serve others.
Life is here to serve others.
And he said, you will find tremendous fulfillment in spiritual work because it's really helping people and making them happier. And I think that was a very powerful seed that he laid within me. So, yeah.
What would you say is your superpower?
To to live in a fantastic state most of the time.
That's your superpower, that you live in a fantastic state?
Yeah.
Why do you think so many people struggle in doing that when it seems like it's so simple?
Yes.
You know, it's so simple for you, it's so simple for your staff and team. Yes. Why do so many people suffer or struggle in just feeling inner joy, inner peace, inner acceptance?
Yeah, we suffer for many reasons. One reason could be we are constantly, as I said earlier, looking for answers outside of us. We want to blame someone else for our happiness, or for our sadness, for all the problems we have in life.
They don't do something for you, or they do something against you.
Against you.
Then we put the blame on someone else.
Yes. And then we're also searching for our joy in someone else, through someone else, constantly.
So more material things, right?
More material things. That's definitely one reason. But I think there's only one path to joy, one path to joy and to find happiness. And that path is to look at the truth. Not looking at the truth externally, that, oh, he is bad, therefore I need to be careful and strategize my way of speaking or be manipulated. Or this system is bad, so I need to understand how to work around the system. Though, that's not the truth we are talking about. We are talking about the truth that's about you. So you need to see what is causing you the suffering. Why are you suffering? And once you can see the truth, then you will have freedom from it.
What's the truth?
And that truth is all suffering arises from obsessive self-centered thinking. So
inner suffering, you're talking
inner
about.
Suffering. So you are in a job, you get fired. That's the problem. The problem is you got fired and you need to find a new job. But we suffer. Why do we suffer? The first thing is there's hurt. I got fired. Who is this guy to fire me? I did so much of hard work. I was a fantastic guy. I just did that. I was a great team player, but I still got fired. Well, now I have a lifestyle. How am I to live the same lifestyle if I don't find a job? What am I going to go and tell my wife? What am I going to go tell my parents? What am I going to go tell my kids? So you have moved away from the problem of finding another job to yourself.
Mm.
And that's where suffering comes from. So I'll give an interesting example. There was this participant from China, and he was here. And after he went back, he was diagnosed with cancer, level 3 or something. And whole family are One World Academy students. So he probably was the most happiest cancer patient, because during his cancer, he could see as suffering arose. All that he was doing was he was thinking about himself. What will happen to my kids when I die? What's going to happen to this wealth?
Why did this happen to me?
Why did this happen to me? I worked so hard, I've been such a good man, I've been such a good person to everyone. Why this to me? Why did God punish me? I didn't do anything good for people. I've been so much family-oriented. I have not really contributed. I thought I will contribute at this particular age, but I can't do that now. So once he brought awareness to that truth, where he's only thinking about himself and actually moved away from treating his cancer, he became free of his suffering. And believe it or not, as you become free of your suffering, your health improves. As your inner state becomes better, your health actually improves. And definitely the family worked together to find a solution for this external problem, which is cancer. And yes, they found the solution and he's cured.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I could handle my suffering very, very easily because it was all about me.
Right.
So that's where the answer is. You need to see the truth.
So, okay, if I see the truth, I'm suffering, I'm upset, I'm agonizing over
the something. The first step is you should recognize that you're suffering. We have met many people who don't even want to accept that they're suffering.
Right. So
you need to bring awareness and observation to the fact that you are suffering.
Okay. And then, but how do you end it?
You end it by looking at the truth. The beauty is when you look at the truth, the freedom is automatic.
Really?
Yes.
So nothing else needs to happen.
Nothing else needs to happen.
You look at the truth, you see it.
Yes.
And realize that it's about me. I'm suffering because of my obsessive self-centric thinking.
Yes.
And once I recognize that, then the suffering goes away.
Yes, because you clearly see that you have moved away from love, you have moved away from connection, you have moved away from courage, you have moved away from vision, your passion to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you have moved away from also addressing your problems to yourself. Then you are in the space of really answering the question, what is important to me? Am I going to keep suffering like this and obsessing about myself?
Right.
Or if I have a problem with my children or with my wife, am I going to move to a beautiful state and address the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Because I need to address it. Because if I go on this path of suffering, everything around me is going to get destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
I feel like a lot of people inflict suffering on themselves, whether through their beliefs, through religion, or through family stuff. They feel like they have to suffer to, I don't know, live better in the afterlife, or do something, or give back in some way. What is that doing for us? Why do we focus so much on suffering when it only hurts us more and more and takes us away from joy?
Well, the first answer is we don't know how to come out of our suffering. That's the first one. The second answer is we really do not have a stronger, deeper purpose for our relationships. We need to find those answers.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And the third one is you need to look at the truth. See, I was in London giving a talk when I started in 2009, 2010, and there was this woman who stood up and asked me this question: Krishnaji, I understand these two states and everything, but throughout my life I have been taught that if you suffer from there, your passion to get more in life or achieve more in life is easier, because now you have learned a lot and you have suffered.
Now you're driven or something.
Now you're driven. So I just told her that you have just not learned the art of creating success from a beautiful state. That's it.
From inspiration as opposed
from
to
inspiration,
proving from people wrong, or
yes,
trying to make yourself look good.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, my entire childhood, I came from a place of proving people wrong, of creating to show that I was worthy enough of acceptance or love. And it drove me to create. I mean, I created everything I wanted.
Okay.
But every time I would achieve the dream or the goal or the vision, it was like there was more suffering afterwards. There was like this, it was never complete. It was never whole. It was always like, what's next? This wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the way I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And I continue to be driven by this, I guess, negative state as opposed to a beautiful state. And it's tricky because it's you feel like, well, I'm driven by this thing, this emotion, and it's getting me what I want.
Yeah.
I'm achieving what I want. It's happening. Things are happening. I'm making money. I have access to things.
Yeah.
But at what cost?
Yes.
And a few years ago when I started on this journey and realized that I can come from inspiration, can come from a place of passion, a place of I'm already complete, and I want to create this to make an impact in the world.
Yes.
It was so much more enjoyable.
Yes.
And the process was easier. It wasn't hard.
Okay.
It wasn't the stressful anxiousness. Like if something didn't work out, I could move through it with more peace.
Yep.
And I'm still able to create. And I feel like it's even more powerful.
Yes, much more powerful.
There's like this spiritual vision. It's like fueling,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So what's the importance of a spiritual vision? And if we don't have one, what's going to happen to us?
Well, if we don't have one, we are going to suffer.
Because we don't have a spiritual vision.
Yes. Because spiritual vision is all about living in a beautiful state and acting from that beautiful state. Addressing your problems from a beautiful state. Not from a state of anger, not from a state of fear, insecurity, loneliness or depression. But from a state of courage, passion, connection. So one needs to learn to live in this state. That should become the most important thing, because as I told earlier, all experiences are happening within you. So
it's our interpretation, right?
One, it's our interpretation. Two, if you're suffering, there's only one interpretation. It's about you.
Right. Okay. But there's experiences happening in the external world.
Yes.
And then we interpret it in a certain way internally.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's either suffering experience or not suffering.
Yes. And you are right. But when suffering arises, you stop interpreting outer world. You're only thinking about yourself.
Gotcha.
Okay. But if you're just interpreting the outer world without suffering, then you are probably thinking about how do I solve this problem from a strategy point of view or just from a vision perspective. You're looking at how do I make this just better. You're not suffering, but you're just seeing it in a practical, pragmatic, way. So, spiritual vision, I think, is the most important thing. If you do not learn to live in a beautiful state and learn to relate from that state, you will not be enjoying any of your relationships, be it your kids, your wife, your work, your profession, and yourself.
So how do we cultivate that on a daily basis, besides being aware of we're not suffering, but how do we just stay in that and cultivate it?
There are definitely certain meditations that we offer which you can practice on a daily basis. Those will help cultivating the beautiful state.
Why is meditation so powerful?
Meditation is powerful because meditation becomes powerful when you apply wisdom. See, meditation should go along with wisdom.
So not just meditating to meditate and not understanding why.
Yeah, not understanding why.
But understanding why you're meditating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to. There has to be a purpose for meditation. And that purpose must have the right path. Then you're meditating in the right way. Otherwise, meditation by itself has no purpose. It might make you just feel good, but you don't have achieved anything.
It might help for a few hours.
A few hours or a few minutes.
Yeah. What would you say is your spiritual vision then?
My spiritual vision has always been to live in a beautiful, powerful state. And address my challenges and my vision in every aspect of my life from that state. That's my spiritual vision.
What would you say is your external vision?
My external vision, I have quite a few visions for my life, for my family, for my businesses, and the spiritual work I do. But coming to One World Academy, to really give people liberative wisdom and powerful direct experiences that can completely transform them as a human being. And revolutionize the way they think and the way they live their life and the way they relate with every aspect of their life.
How does this wisdom apply for business? Because you've built a number of successful businesses, you've done very well financially. How do you apply this mindset and this way of being in all of your relationships in business? Because there's a lot of entrepreneurs watching.
Yes.
And what if you're like, well, this is just for your relationships, your family and your intimate relationships, but can this really be helpful for my career, my business?
Yes. I have interacted with many business people, and one of the strong emotions that they work from is competitiveness. They constantly compete with somebody.
Competitiveness.
Competitiveness, yeah. So I was in a meeting with one guy here in India who's a very big business person. And I was asking him, what's the vision and what's the purpose? And he was telling me, like, I want to become better than that guy.
Right.
I want to do things better than that person. I want to get those projects. Then I told him, I don't think so that's going to work, because that guy is good at what he's doing. So you need to find what you are good at and what you really love doing. Then I think you'll be far more successful. So I think it's very important, number one, to find what the vision is. And number two, not to go about achieving that vision from a place of fear. See, we are constantly, most business people want to achieve from a space of fear. And after achieving, they don't want to lose what they've achieved against fear. So there's definitely no enjoyment in this entire path. So I have done it from a beautiful state. If there's a challenge, because I can differentiate challenge and suffering, I address it. I see that suffering is about me. And once I'm out of my suffering, there is immense clarity and power to address the challenge, whatever the challenge might be. Because now you're seeing challenge as a challenge. You are not part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's tremendous clarity to address those problems. Unfortunately, we make it too much about ourselves. We make it too much about our image. We make it too much about what people are constantly thinking about us. So if you bring awareness and if you start looking at the truth, then you will actually see that 70% or 80% of the time, you are spending thinking about yourself rather than your business.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Do you ever get in that space where you're getting competitive or comparing yourself to someone else in business in your industry? Or do you ever?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
I would say not much.
Okay.
Not much. I'm very, very clear about what I want to do. I'm very clear about how my projects must look. And I'm very, very clear about what is the team I want, what are the kind of people that needs to work with me. And if there's too much competition, I'm okay with letting it go, and I know that there'll be a bigger opportunity coming my way next time.
What if something doesn't work out the way you want it to be? You have this vision of, like, I want these people to do these things, and then it doesn't work out. How do you react?
I do get upset.
You do get upset?
Yeah, I do get upset and a little frustrated. Because most of the time, at least here, it's because of the systems.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that need to go together to make your project successful.
Yeah.
And sometimes systems break down. And so you know that you did your best and systems break down. Again, if you enter into suffering, apply the teaching. So, so I see the problem, and for the next project, we make sure that we first correct the systems and then go ahead with the entire project. So
whenever you recognize you're in a breakdown, what's your process?
If I recognize the external problem which is breaking down,
but then you feel like a reaction in some way.
I don't react.
You don't react.
I don't react.
Never.
Never.
I don't. But you get frustrated sometimes.
I do get frustrated. Yes, but I get frustrated. I do get angry. I do get hurt. All these are emotions. That things did not go according to my plan. Things did not work out the way it had to go. All that really hurts. But that's being human, right?
Yeah.
But I think
you're human.
But I think once you have the spiritual vision, which is the most important thing, is to live in a beautiful state. And once you live there, there's tremendous intelligence and clarity that comes. You move there.
Mm-hmm.
You move there. And
what answers do you not have yet?
What answers do I have not? In which sphere of my life? You're talking spirituality, business?
In spirituality. Like, is there an answer that you're still... Is there a question you're seeking? Because you've been seeking for a long time. You've got this curriculum. You've got this material. You've got the truth. But what's missing? Is there something that's, like, inside of you that's like, I don't know the answer?
No.
You know the answer to everything.
Yes.
Why do you think you're here?
I'm here to do this work. I'm here to be a loving husband and a loving father, a loving son, and definitely a loving friend to many of my friends. And I'm here to definitely create a difference to the world.
Do you think everyone has that same purpose?
I don't know. I don't know. I would not like to make that into an ideal, that everyone has a purpose. I think...
How do you know that's your purpose? Or when did you discover that?
I knew, I think, probably from the age of 14, 15. Yeah. That I'm definitely here for doing something great. And I want to do it. It's not like... I'll put it this way. I'll put it that way. It's my decision. It's my right action that I want to do this.
You don't feel forced?
No, I don't feel forced. It's not like I had a revelation and, you know, someone came into my dream and told me this is you. No, it's not like that.
Right.
It's something that I have discovered and
it's organic.
It's organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's total clarity. It's something that I found within me. It's not something that's given to me.
Mm. What about all the people that have religious beliefs?
Uh-huh.
Because you grew up religiously, right? Your father is religious,
yes.
Would you say?
Yes.
And?
My father is not religious. My father's work is spiritual, but the work is centered around God realization.
Around God?
God realization.
Realization.
Yeah, realization. So that way it is religious. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And this work is not related around God in any way?
In the sense, I think for us, the topic on God has been addressed over thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are many, many people who are talking about that. So, and for us, I think we have found the answers for a beautiful state, for a transcendental state, and the enlightened state, all these powerful states through spirituality. And spirituality is different from religion.
What's your definition of both?
Spirituality is moving inwards. You are looking for your happiness, for answers for your suffering within you. Religion is where you're moving outwards. You are suffering, you want to go and pray, and you want someone else to take care of your suffering who is far more powerful than you.
Mm.
So spirituality is moving inwards, religion is moving outwards. So both are fine. There's nothing superior, nothing inferior. But we have chosen this path.
You're not against religion, you're not against... people believing in God.
We are only against one thing. We are only against
suffering states. And so if someone believes in religion or a God or thousands of gods and it brings them relief or mm-hmm. brings them a beautiful state, then
it's beautiful.
That's what you want them to focus on.
That's what they can focus on.
Right, right. You just don't think that's your truth.
I just don't think that it's a very effective way.
To put your attention on a being or a God
mm-hmm.
or God.
Mm-hmm.
To give you a beautiful state, and why is that not effective?
Well, I should ask you that question, because if you have done that, have you found peace and happiness?
Mm.
If you're a believer in God.
Well, I don't know if some people have or not.
Yeah,
but
so, yeah. So most of them have told me I don't know. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
When most people come in here and do work with you, is that their belief usually? They believe in God and then...
Many of them, yes, they believe in God. But we have made it very clear that I personally feel that you can go to God and you can pray for your problems. See, most of us go and pray for our problems. We want to become financially successful, or we want our health to become better, or in India people go for, my kid must get a good, must get married well, must study well, must go to America for higher education. So I think for miracles, definitely I think that path is an excellent path. But if you want to learn, grow and transform, then I think you should take the spiritual path.
Mm. What's the thing that people suffer around the most that you've seen over the last 10 years doing this work? What's the common theme?
Common theme. Interesting question. No one has asked me this.
Well, you've never been on the School of Greatness.
Yes, and I'm loving it. The common theme will be, I would say, lack of vision. Definitely.
What's the difference between, is vision and purpose similar or?
Yeah, they're similar, but you know, when we use the word vision and purpose, we always try to make it very big. And I always tell people it's not about bigness. It could be purpose in a relationship with your partner or even with your kids. So so I think we find people don't have that vision.
They don't have vision.
Yeah, they don't have vision. So people have kids, but they don't know why they're having kids. People get into a relationship and they don't know why they're getting into a relationship.
And they suffer. So vision, would you say, is the most important first step in terms of like an action plan of having something?
Absolutely, yes.
So without vision, you're just wandering in the universe asking, why am I here? What's the point of this?
Spiritual vision, I would say, is the first step.
Spiritual vision.
That is
the inner state.
And that's your way of being.
That's
so how do I want to be in the world?
That should be your second
step. That's the second step.
Second step.
The first step is spiritual vision.
Because you need to first learn to become free of your fears, your insecurity, your lack of connection. These are the things that you should become first free of.
Because that holds us back.
Yes.
And then who do I want to be in the world? Our way of being, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I want to be loving, I want to be passionate, I want to be...
Yes, I want to do this.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. And then would you say the external vision afterwards?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And then goals and strategizing.
Yes.
Yeah. Making sure, whom do you want to be, whom do you want to be your team member, where do you go find your finances, mm-hmm. how do you want to raise your money, everything, the whole plan works out there.
How would you say if someone says, I have no clue what I want to create in the world, I have no clue, I don't know what I'm passionate about, mm-hmm. I have, or I like everything, how do I get my focus into one thing, what would you say to someone like that?
I think... They should, as I told you earlier, you know, if you're constantly going to tell people that you should find some mission or vision that's transforming the world or transforming the country, then it's going to be very difficult. All 7.5 billion people.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
Start smaller.
Yeah, start smaller. I think that's very important because small changes can actually make big changes.
Mm.
We don't see that. So I think small changes are very, very important. What's the point in me doing this work if I am not having a vision for my daughter and for my family and for my business? It's really not worth it. So, and at the same time, we cannot say that that's small. You are creating the next generation who are going to take care of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. So I think we should, I think all of us together should work on changing this perception. We are somehow constantly telling the world, find this big thing, and all these guys are not able to find it, and they're all suffering. And
cure cancer, do this.
Yeah, yeah. So I think first let them do the smaller things, which are also very, very important. Again, saying them small is wrong. They are big things. Your partner is a big thing. Your child is a big thing. Your business is a big thing. All
family,
these are big. Your family is community. A big thing. Your parents are big. All these are big things. This is what makes you who you are. So first we need to address these things and go to find happiness here.
A lot of your staff lives a particular lifestyle.
Yes.
Right? A monk lifestyle.
Yes.
But you don't, correct?
Yes.
Why is that?
They made their choice, I made my choice.
Okay. Do you feel that because you're married, you have a child, you mm-hmm. have all these other businesses, all these mm-hmm. other types of relationships that could be messier, do you feel like it's harder for you to stay spiritually grounded because you have a lot of moving parts in your life?
No, it's very easy.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because spirituality is all about looking inwards and finding your beautiful state.
So it doesn't matter what's happening.
I'm not running to some 10 pilgrimage centers to find my happiness. I'm very busy traveling and doing stuff, attending programs here, attending programs there, and going meeting this person, that person. I'm not doing that. So I have a lot of time to spend with my family and with myself.
It's good.
Yeah.
Range Rover Sport leads by example. Picture this. Assertive on-road performance meets commanding all-terrain capability. That's the third generation Range Rover Sport, which is the most desirable, advanced, and dynamically capable one yet. This vehicle redefines sporting luxury, offering an instinctive drive with engaging on-road dynamics and effortless composure. Now available in sleek, new Stealth Pack, Carpathian gray exterior wrapped in satin protective film with black accents and black brake calipers. Inside the Range Rover Sport, advanced cabin technology like active noise cancellation and cabin air purification offer new levels of comfort and refinement. And let's not forget about the award-winning Pivi Pro infotainment system. Enjoy a dynamic drive and total comfort with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Wow, that's like a spa day while on the go. Design your Range Rover Sport at LandRoverUSA.com. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game. Or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
What do you feel like holds you back right now? Is there anything that's missing for you or that...
Personally?
Or that keeps you from being the person or achieving the thing you want right now?
On the spiritual side, really nothing. On the business side, I think I definitely have to get to know a lot more of what's happening in the world. I'm just so stuck in this work right now.
Mm.
So I'm losing out a little bit there. So I just need to work a lot more to get that going. That's not disturbing me, but I know that that's an area where I need to somehow find time and pay more attention there so that I can keep up speed. Mm-hmm. It's changing so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say is the question you get the most? And just to put this in the context before you answer, you get... You know, a lot of big business executives come here, CEOs of major companies. Tony Robbins has been here before. You have people from all over the world that come here. And the group that I was in, I think there was like 7 or 8 different countries and just 20 of us.
Yes.
Leaders. We're talking about big leaders here.
Yes.
But also people that are just figuring things out. So you have a wide spectrum.
Yes.
It seems like more leaders come than not.
Yes.
So what would you say is the biggest question, the most frequent question?
For leaders, the most frequent question has been, they're actually in a space of seeking. Some of them have moved to a place of seeking, like, why am I here? What am I doing? For some of them, it's been relationship at home, relationship with parents. So, different things. I would say each would fall equally in its basket.
Why are relationships so challenging for people?
It's so challenging because we're all different. Yeah. I'm not you and you're not me.
Why it seems like now more than ever marriages are so challenging? They're facing a lot of challenges. You know, 50% divorce rate in the U.S.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it's like here in India, but why do we... Is it... Because we're so focused on ourselves, or is it because there's so many options and we think we deserve something better? Is it combination of things?
I think all these are true, but they're only true at a certain level. The real truth is there's no spiritual vision.
With the relationship.
And again, we're trying to find answers externally. So you think by changing the person, you'll find your happiness.
So how do you know if it's the right fit then?
Well, that's something practical, right? You can really be pragmatic about it. If someone is using abusive language or being physically abusive with you, you just need to make a practical decision that this is not working.
Gotcha. But the spiritual vision, most relationships don't have that.
Most.
What would you advise if a couple is sitting right in front of you saying, you know, we're struggling right now, and you said, okay, you need to have a spiritual vision, what would you say they need to focus on? How do they create that together, individually and then together?
They can do it individually, they can also do it together, but I think they need to understand and ask this question: what's the foundation for the relationship? So many discover it's money, it's power, it's beauty, it's many other things. And as those fade away or as those are questionable, your relationship changes, your equation changes. So you need to see the truth.
Mm. What would you say is the most profound, enlightened, or transcendental experience you've ever had? What happens? For how long? What was the journey? Nothing's too weird.
Yes. That was, I think the most profound, I would say, the one I've had is me not existing. So, yeah. So became one with everything around me.
Yeah. The universe.
Yeah, everything.
You became one. What does that mean? What did it feel like? What was it like?
The feeling is you don't exist. You are not there. And
your body or your mind?
You're both. You are everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
How long did that last for?
I would say I've had it many times.
Really?
So, yeah, so.
Just wake up in the morning and put on the switch and you're everywhere.
But I would say at least 7-8 minutes. That's been maximum sometimes, yeah.
And how do you get into that space personally?
I get into it when I'm meditating.
Mm-hmm. And what do you...
That's the secret.
Meditation. Can you get into it when you're not meditating?
Yes, I can.
What do you notice when you're everywhere?
I notice that we are actually just a process in this whole universe.
The universe is a process.
The universe is a process and you are a small process.
And we're a small process. What's the point of the process?
From the perspective of the... From the context of the universe?
Sure.
I don't know. But from the context of our life, to do something good.
Yeah.
And to live in a beautiful state.
Why do you think that's our purpose? To do something good?
More than to do something good, to live in a beautiful state, I would say it's a deeper and a much bigger purpose.
Why not live in a negative state and break everything down? What if that's our purpose?
All of us are constantly searching for happiness, peace and love. So definitely we know that we cannot live in these negative states. And we want to become free of these negative states.
Right.
And I always tell that there are only two states of being. Either a suffering state or a no suffering state. So if these are the only two states we experience our life from, then the most important question in life is, which state do you want to live in? And everyone knows the answer. A beautiful state.
Right. Yeah. What's your point of view of ideals? Because I know certain people talk about you need to have a set of ideals to live by. Do you believe in ideals? What's the purpose of them?
I think ideals are good up to a point. So, because it definitely gives you direction to be a good person or to do good things. But you're just doing, you're not being. So, ideals never make you be, it only makes you do. And beyond a point, they become a burden because you're something else within and you're trying to be something else outside. And that's when you completely break it down. So you break down and everything breaks down.
So all your ideals break down?
Everything breaks down. So you try to be this nice husband, and on fine day you're this worst husband.
And then what?
Exactly.
Right. And then you're questioning everything.
And then you're
questioning
the ideal and then questioning all that you believed in.
So it's exhausting.
It's totally exhausting because it is not your truth, it is someone else's truth.
Or what you think your truth should be, right?
Yes, exactly. And you also want the other person to believe in the same truth. So you believe that you have to be a good husband, then you believe your wife has to be a good wife, then you believe your children have to be good children. Whereas all of us are different human beings, we're all very different.
Yeah.
So they're okay to up to a point. So, but it's not about what you're doing, it's about who you are. And that's where the beautiful state comes in.
Mm-hmm. Who would you say is your greatest teacher?
It'll sound a little arrogant, but the truth is myself and life, I would say.
Is there anyone else who's been a great teacher for you besides yourself?
My dad.
What's his name?
My dad's name is Shri Bhagwan.
And he runs a center as well, right? A spiritual center here in India.
Yes.
It's very popular.
Very big.
It's been around for 25
30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
It's thousands of people every week, or what is it?
Thousands, yeah.
Thousands every week.
Every week.
Wow. Yeah. And why did you not want to go take that over or be part of that?
I am definitely part of it, in the sense I'm the one who built it up.
Because you were there at the beginning, right?
I was there.
Your experience, mm-hmm. I heard from Krishnaraj that your experience was, you guys were in the school that he started.
Yes.
You started having these experiences.
Yes.
Other kids started having spiritual experiences.
I think one of the biggest reasons the oneness movement grew is through a very divine process or spiritual process called the oneness blessing or the oneness diksha, which many people around the world practice. And that phenomenon began through me. I was the first one to transfer that really to someone else, yeah. So at the age of 12. So in that way, I played a very big role on the spiritual side.
Tell me what happened.
Lewis.
What was the experience? So your experience is what created this foundation for transformation around the world, is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay, so let's hear it.
It was an experience where I had a very, can call it a divine being with whom I could communicate within my heart. And slowly the divine being turned into this beautiful golden ball, and then I could actually transfer this to someone else.
What were you transferring?
When we were transferring it, it was basically told that you can come in touch with your God, you can come in touch with your divine. So it's more like an intent. So people used to have...
An intent, is what you said?
An intent, yeah. So people used to have and see their divinity, the divine they believed in within themselves.
Mm.
And they could communicate, they could talk. So they had this personal God that they could be in communion with.
Wow.
So that's the phenomenon that began. Yeah.
So it happened first with you?
Yes.
And how did that... experience, how was it facilitated? Was your dad a part of that experience?
Absolutely, yes.
So he facilitated this, or was it just organic?
It was organic. It was organic, and it was my dad's decision to tell me that I think you should now see if you can transfer this to someone else.
And who was the first person you transferred it to?
It was to Samadarshini, who is one of the senior faculty here, and the second one was Anandagiri, who is also a senior faculty.
Mm-hmm. What was their experience like?
You should ask them.
Okay, I will later. Yeah. And so based on that, your dad decided, hey, I want to start, this is what I want to be doing?
No, his work started much before that. This was a phenomenon that just began along with what my dad was doing.
Gotcha.
His work began as courses. See, my father here in this country is... seen as someone to whom they can pray and their problems can be solved, miracles can happen. And also there are powerful teachings along with that process. So that's how the work began.
Mm-hmm.
But then this phenomenon, just called the oneness blessing or the diksha, this phenomenon just made sure that everything happened much faster.
Mm.
So I could transfer it to you, and then you had the power to transfer it to somebody else.
Mm.
And the benefits were health, it was relationships, better like relationships,
clarity.
Yeah. And many beautiful mystical spiritual experiences. People had powerful experiences.
Yeah. Well, what's been the greatest miracle or recovery you've seen from anyone you've been working with?
In terms of transformation, you're asking?
Transformation.
Oh, all of them. All of them. I would not pick anyone particularly.
Do you ever get surprised by any transformations?
Surprised? No. Because I know exactly that's what I want. So I don't get surprised.
Mm. Is there any question that you wish people would ask you that they don't ask?
I have not thought about it. But from courses perspective, I definitely would love to teach people many wonderful realizations and teachings that have given me freedom.
Mm.
But that needs for someone to become a seeker. It needs for someone to ask more deeper questions and more important questions. I would like people to get to that place so that I can help them with ultimate freedom. And yeah.
What are three questions everyone should ask?
What are the three questions?
What are three questions everyone should be asking themselves? No matter what stage of life they're at.
Okay. I would say definitely number one is, why am I doing what I'm doing? Number two is, how do I find my happiness? And how do I be in this joyful state? And number three would be, how do I find the spiritual vision for each and every aspect of my life?
Mm. Those are great three questions.
Yeah.
Should you write a book on those questions?
Sure. You should.
What's something you've done that a lot of people don't know about you that you're really proud of?
I would say One World Academy. Yeah. We are small.
Yeah.
We are growing. Yeah.
Okay. Final few questions. Before I ask them, is there any questions you want to ask me?
Yes, definitely.
You don't have to.
I want to. Okay. You're doing amazing work, and I love what you're doing. And more than that, I love you as a human being. Right. You're a very wonderful person. And you have come here, you have learned a lot, and there has been definitely growth and transformation. So from your perspective, what do you think your listeners and people in the world should do to understand our work better and, one, understand our work better, not two, really, the teachings that you have learned?
Mm-hmm. What should they understand?
What should they understand? And so what is it that you want?
I think people need to simplify their lives.
Okay.
I think we create too much complexity in our minds.
Okay.
Of the way we think things should look or how things should be. And we are constantly in an analytical mindset.
Okay.
We're prisoners of this analytical mind where we constantly think and question things over and over.
Okay.
And just run in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to being calm and peaceful and joyful and just moving forward.
Okay. So why should one be calm?
I think people need, because it's freeing.
Okay.
It's freeing and it's more fun.
Okay.
Whenever I'm around people that are constantly in their head, they're analytical, mm-hmm. they're questioning everything, or they can't make a decision on something,
mm-hmm.
it looks hard. It looks exhausting to me.
Okay.
It's like they're tight in their body because they're tight in their mind.
Okay.
So for me, I like to keep things as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. I think you guys do a great job of breaking things down in simple ways.
Okay.
You're either in a suffering state or a non-suffering state. Yes. Which one do you want to be in?
Yes.
Okay, let's move into a non-suffering state. Here's how to do it. Here's the practices. Here's what you can do on a daily basis. Here's the routines. And here's the truth that you need to have.
Yes.
Now, build from a spiritual vision and move forward in your life.
Yes.
Challenges are going to come up. They're going to arise. But if you stay grounded in your spiritual vision and you always come back to that, then you can move through it easier.
Yes.
And I think it comes down to being as simple as that.
Beautiful.
But people complicate things so much.
Yes.
And I think sometimes, we may not always have the answers to certain things.
Yeah.
You know, I asked you a question the other day, and you gave me an answer, but it's probably a lot more of a process to go through to really understand some of these answers.
Yes.
And so I think some things we need to be okay with a certain level of not knowing for sure everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But being okay with it.
Absolutely, yes, correct.
And living from a place of love, joy, and passion, because we're here, we might as well make the most of it, right? So I think that's what it is, and I think if people rid themselves of their analytical mind,
yeah.
that
imprisons them mm-hmm. in their body. They yeah. become, there's just bars around their body that they can't get out.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
And it sucks to be around.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun to be around those individuals, and you want to support them. So I would say listen to this again
mm-hmm.
and come to a workshop in the U.S. or wherever you are in the world, or come here
mm-hmm.
to experience it for yourself, because it's very profound. So that's what I would say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And why do you think people make their life complicated?
I don't think they know any other way. I think they were raised probably mm-hmm. seeing it complicated. They feel like maybe with their peers, you know, there's a competition, especially in the U.S., of like who's busier, who's more stressed out.
Okay.
It's like one-upping someone based on your level of stress.
Okay.
And I think they're not present to the fact they don't need to be that way.
Okay.
So you're not aware.
So what you're saying is they're constantly trying to be somebody else. Or they're trying to be...
Well, they don't feel like they're good enough. They don't feel like they're whole enough already.
Okay.
So they're searching or trying to create something to prove that they're good enough.
So how do they know that they're not good enough? Because they're looking at someone and they're judging themselves.
Yes. Or so they're being made fun of, or they're not getting the attention or the love they want, or they're not getting the acknowledgement they want.
So the search is outside.
Outside. Yeah.
Got it.
I think acknowledgement is a big thing.
Okay.
If we're constantly seeking for acknowledgement from the outside, then we're never going to be happy.
Okay. By doing nothing?
What's that?
By doing nothing?
By doing nothing?
Are people seeking acknowledgement by doing nothing?
Oh, I hope not. I'm sure they are. Yeah, sure they are.
And that's an important truth one must see.
What's that?
That acknowledgement will come automatically if you're doing something.
Yeah, if you're doing something good.
Yeah.
And you even talked about it in the beginning, like, you know, in this minute when... I just finished, for those watching, I just finished a meditation instructor training.
Yes.
And one of the vows mm-hmm. that you taught us in the beginning, there's three vows. I'm going to forget the first two. I'll read my notes. But one of them is to not go into the practice of serving others to receive acknowledgement.
Correct.
Because then it's not going to be a heartfelt connection or interaction. So you're going to feel a disconnect.
Yes.
And so I think when we come from the place of, I'm going to make an impact because I want to get this acknowledgement, because I want to win the award, because I want to win people bowing to me in their own metaphorical way,
yeah.
it's going to feel exhausting. It's still focusing on the self.
And there's no spiritual vision there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's removing, like, it's nice to get acknowledgement.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, I'm sure you like it.
Yes.
But if that's our focus, there's going to be suffering.
Yes.
Because when we don't get it, we're going to have an expectation that's not met.
Yes.
So...
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
And also the truth is you're not working for the sake of the work, but for acknowledgement
for yourself.
And then that becomes like a vicious cycle and you suffer more. And then what happens is even if people truly acknowledge, that's not enough.
It's never enough. You need more, right?
Yes.
Any other questions for me? You don't have to.
Why do you think living in a beautiful state is important from a perspective of day-to-day life?
For a number of reasons. One, health-wise.
Okay.
When I'm not living in a beautiful state, I feel it emotionally, internally, and I feel like it affects my health.
Yeah.
My physical health, my
sleep hurts, my body aches over time, I get exhausted. So that's number one, is it frees me of that physical pain. Number two is, I think it's important because I believe we're all here to be symbols of inspiration.
Okay. Yes.
Were there symbols of inspiration or symbols of something negative?
Yes. Okay.
And I look at myself as, I want to be a symbol that anyone that I come in contact with, doesn't matter if I'm in Delhi, in the spice market, walking down the street, the Uber driver who's driving me to the spice market, I was constantly coming from a place of joy, a place of curiosity, a place of interest, a place of trying to transfer positivity to someone else's life. When I was walking down the street, I was interacting with people in a joyful way.
Okay.
And I feel like it's my mission to be a symbol, that symbol. And that all of our missions should be to be a symbol of inspiration, to spread joy and positivity, because the other is a negative state that brings suffering and pain. And
you're doing it beautifully.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Doing my best.
That's what I told you in the beginning. You're a very wonderful person, and that's more important for us.
Right. And the thing is, you know, I think people also want to feel like they're very smart and intelligent.
Yes.
And so they're constantly driven to learn more and to feel like they're adequate enough in relationships or in the world. And I remember early on that I never felt like I was smart because I couldn't study well in school.
Okay.
But I feel like I learned a new superpower. I was like, well, as long as I can transfer positivity, then it doesn't matter. I don't need to be smart, you know what I mean? So I think being a good human being and having a positive energy is more important than how much you know.
Absolutely.
If you're negative with your intelligence.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anything else? I'm usually not interviewed, so on my show. But
what was your most impactful experience here?
I would say my time with Krishna Raj.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I would say I got sick, even something in Delhi, or who knows what happened, but I got sick for 3 days, and being in another country, you know, being away from my bed, being away from home, familiar people, things like that, I was like, this is the last thing I want right now. You know, I spent all my time to come here. I want to learn something now, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And now I'm taken away from my experience, from my group, and the lessons. And, you know, Krishna Raj Ji was there, and he was just so calm and loving, and his attention to detail and his level of commitment to me for a stranger and his level of love and giving and service was so thoughtful. And it just shows me, it was more of a, you know, I learned so much through the experiences. I learned so much through the meditations, the wisdom, our interaction.
Yes.
You know, I'm constantly learning. But I think it's those simple reminders that it doesn't matter who someone is in the world.
Yes.
That we're all connected,
yes.
And we can all experience someone else's pain or suffering or what they're going through. We can all have the opportunity to relate.
Yes.
And him being there for me, I mean, everyone was there for me, but him being there for me, I felt like made it an easier process to move through. So I could have suffered a lot longer or not, and he was there to support me. So I think that's what's coming up for me right now.
Wonderful.
But in terms of the teaching, you know, the meditation instructor training has been extremely powerful in understanding the principles of modern-day science. Spiritual meditation practices and body movement and alignment. And when you put all three together to put yourself through a practice of meditation, the incredible benefits that will support your mental health, your emotional health, and your physical health, and your spiritual health. And by having a meditation practice where you understand why all elements work in unison, not just doing them to have emotions, but actually understanding the thinking, the science, the biomechanics behind every moment of movement, it's so profound in understanding it for me. So now having that wisdom, having those tools that I can teach to other people, for me, that's the reason why I want to come, is to have that understanding.
Yes.
Because I've been meditating for years, but and I see the benefits, but I didn't fully understand it at a deeper level. So I think that was pretty profound.
Wonderful. And
And also you attended the Field of Transformation last year. What is your big takeaway?
Well, I missed like 3 days of that, but for the big takeaway was, you know, there's different teachings about the wisdom that you guys have, and then you put us through different experiences, different exercises.
Yes.
And I think I've been through different workshops where they have teaching and exercises, and that's what creates transformation.
Yes.
For me, that's what's created transformation for me in the past.
Yes.
Because you can't just sit there and be lectured
yes.
or taught something and have a transformation.
Yes.
You have to understand it, and then you have to go through an experience to move through the suffering, the pain, and the hurts. And I believe that's really the only way, that's the most impactful way to transform.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of different workshops out there that teach similar stuff, but not at this level of understanding, of spiritual understanding.
Okay.
Not religious, but spiritual understanding. And I think this is probably the most profound experience. I wish I would have done this probably like 3 or 4 years ago. I did something else that was, again, similar with terms of teaching and experience, experiential learning, which was the most profound thing for me at the time, which rid me a lot of my suffering.
Okay.
So I think it would have been even more profound going through like a spiritual understanding of the two. So it's definitely a must attend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else? Okay. final few questions.
Mm-hmm.
What are you most grateful for recently?
See, I don't make being grateful into some kind of a practice or an ideal again. So once you learn to live in a beautiful state, you're automatically grateful for things. So unfortunately today, grateful and being gratitude has become some kind of a practice because most of the time we're living in a negative state. So I'm grateful for everything. There's nothing particular that I'm grateful for.
You're always grateful. It's not even a grateful.
It is, I think, out of many emotions, it's one small emotion. It's one important one, but takes its place. It's not like the emotional state that you have to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But, unfortunately, it's also becoming an ideal. You must feel grateful. You must feel gratitude. You must feel grateful. Feeling gratitude must be something that must become natural. It should not be a practice.
It should be a forced thing.
It should not be a forced thing.
It should be an automatic.
Because you have this paradox, right? In one particular view, you're looking at everyone and blaming everyone for your suffering. And then to the same person, you want to feel grateful. So, you know, it's very paradoxical. So,
right.
So you need to understand, are you really being grateful or are you just trying to be grateful so that you can feel nice about it? So,
right.
So that's where the state is very important.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You need to learn to live in that state.
Got it. Okay, this is called the Three Truths.
Okay.
So if it's the last day for you many, many years from now.
Many, many years from now.
Many, many years from now, it's your last day.
Okay. How will I know it's my last day?
You know.
Okay.
You know. It's time.
Okay.
You're 100 and something or however old you are.
Okay.
It's time.
Okay, so together we'll spend that time.
Yes. You have, you've written many books. You've had tens of thousands or however many people have come through this. You've built businesses beyond your wildest dreams. You've done everything you've wanted. The family, mm-hmm. everything you had has happened according to your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And your friends and family are there at the last moment. And they want to know, you know, you've created so much. You have so much wisdom, so much teaching, so much knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If you could boil it down to three simple truths.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all we would have to remember you by.
Mm-hmm.
This would be your teaching to the world,
mm-hmm.
written on three simple truths. A piece of paper, nothing else we would have.
Mm-hmm.
What would you boil it down to?
Living in powerful spiritual states, which are beautiful states, transcendental states, and enlightened states. Number two will be to always look at the truth that all suffering arises from obsessive self-centric thinking, and that if you want to find joy, if you want to find peace, love, passion, courage, you have to look within you. You have to learn to dissolve your suffering and become free of your suffering. The answer is within you and not outside of you. And number three will be to have a spiritual vision for your life.
Yeah. Those are great. Those are great.
Thank you.
Before I ask the final question, I want to acknowledge you for a moment, Christian Jean, for your incredible vision. your spiritual vision, for your guidance to so many people, for bringing your vision to life and creating this work for so many people, including myself, to learn, grow, transform, rid ourselves of suffering and pain, unnecessary suffering that we don't need to live in.
Yes.
You're an incredible symbol of inspiration for so many people.
Thank you.
And I acknowledge you for all the incredible work you've done.
Thank you so much. And a pleasure talking to you, and such joy relating to you.
Yes. Everyone can go to oneworldacademy.com, check out more information.
Yes.
There's also workshops around the world. You'll be doing a number of them next year.
Yes.
How many of them?
At least 40 to 50.
40 to 50. That'll be on oneworldacademy.com. There'll be information about workshop in your city.
Yeah.
You'll be hosting one in LA soon, so I'll send you guys the information about that. Anything else that people should know about where to go and connect with you or the work?
I think the website is a good place.
Website?
And Facebook.
Facebook, yeah. /OneWorldAcademy.
OneWorldAcademy.
Okay, perfect. Final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness will be two things coming together. One is your internal state of being. Are you the person you are that you're talking to others about? If you're communicating about love, if you're communicating about being courageous, if you're communicating about being passionate, are you the person who's living in that state? And if you are that person, and if you are living in that state, if you've learned to live in that state, then you're truly great. Because then you are giving people that is true to you. Number two is actually making it happen as a reality for the other. So it's both the internal and the external coming together. So that's truly being great.
Krishna Ji, thank you so much.
Thank you, Krishna.
Namaste. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed curating and facilitating it while I was in India and while I was going through my own process and experience. So many things I learned and so many things I'm still learning and processing and experiencing as I develop my daily meditation practice from what I learned at One World Academy. And if you guys are interested in learning more, make sure to check out oneworldacademy.com. You can see more what it's about. But I've been telling a lot of my close network, the different influencers in my network, to definitely go check it out. Again, they do workshops around the U.S. and around the world at various times as well. Little mini 3-day workshops, which are extremely profound as well. But if you're not able to go to India, then make sure to find a city closest to you. So check out oneworldacademy.com to learn more. Again, if you enjoyed this and you feel like others should learn about the power of creating a spiritual vision in your life, and how to find true meaning and purpose in your life, then please share this with your friends. LewisHowes.com/418. Guys, it's all about coming from a place of beauty, of joy, of passion, of inspiration, of meaning and purpose. And it's hard to live a meaningful life if we don't create our own spiritual vision and if we don't live from a beautiful state of being. So start moving towards a beautiful mind and living in a beautiful mind and having that space where your thoughts are beautiful, and surrender all negative thoughts that may hold you back. Surrender holding on to pain from other people. Forgive. Allow yourself to forgive and surrender the suffering inside of you. You are so worth it. You're worth more than pain and suffering. You're worth more than despair. You're worth more than frustration and anger and resentment. I lived in it for many, many years, and it is definitely not worth it. You deserve so much more, but it's up to you to create that inner peace and that spiritual vision. So connect for a moment today with how you want to be in the world, who you want to be, how you want to show up, the purpose you're going to live in, and the thing you want to leave behind for everyone that knows who you are. My name is Lewis Howes. Thank you guys so much for being here. Please share this with your friends, lewishowes.com/418, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and live and do something great.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself.
What would kids do?
Dance to a giant organ played by ocean waves? Yep. Camp in floating tree houses hundreds of feet off the ground? Check. Jump in a big tub of mud on purpose? Call it rejuvenation. We don't care. Just pack your fun pants and let childhood rule your family vacation. Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Home isn't just a place, it's a state of mind. Like curling up in a comfy chair as you watch the world go by.
Good afternoon.
Which is why at Delta, our people do our best to make you feel at home long before you get there. Delta, keep climbing.
With Capella University's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.